Chapter 10, The Catholic Counter-Reformation. It was an evil day for newborn Protestantism when a French artilleryman struck down Ignatius Loyola in the breach of Pampeluna. Francis Parkman. What is the Counter-Reformation? The Counter-Reformation is a movement inaugurated by the Church in order to combat the evil effects of the Protestant Reformation, to eliminate abuses within the Church, and to revive the true spirit of Catholicity. The general objectives and methods of this great program were laid down by the Council of Trent. The nation that did the most for the movement was Spain, with her galaxy of saints and her monarchs sincerely devoted to Christianity. The outstanding individual figure of the entire Counter-Reformation was Saint Ignatius Loyola, founder of the Society of Jesus. Of the many exemplary popes who assisted in this holy work, Pius V, a Dominican, was the greatest. The Council of Trent. Introduction. The Council of Trent, the 19th Ecumenical Council, was convoked by Pope Paul III in 1545. It met in the Austrian city of Trent, located in the Alps. The time and place of the meeting had been the subject of jealous diplomatic wrangling. The council extended over a period of 18 years. However, it was interrupted twice, once by pestilence and once by political quarrels among the German princes, and was actually in session only in the following years, 1545 to 1549, 1551, 1552, and 1562 to 1563. A total of 25 sessions were held. Acts of the Council. During the discussions of the Council of Trent, the Bible and the Summa of St. Thomas were always exposed on the altar. This was highly appropriate, for these holy books were the guide and inspiration of the gathering. Papal legates presided at all times. Noted theologians, particularly Spaniards, drew up articles dealing with dogmas of faith that Protestantism had questioned. The traditional doctrines and practices of Catholicity were restated. Great scholars prepared a revised version of the Latin Bible, the Vulgate, and issued a uniform catechism. Steps were taken to ensure more thorough religious training for the laity. In addition, canons of reform were drawn up, including a set of disciplinary laws designed to eliminate laxity among the clergy. There was much stormy debate over the decrees of the Council of Trent. Often it seemed that agreement would never be reached. In the final sessions, however, a great leader and conciliator appeared in the person of St. Charles Borromeo, who was the Archbishop of Milan and the nephew of Pope Pius IV. This noble man has been called the soul of the Council of Trent. Largely as a result of his influence, the decrees of the council were finally signed by 255 bishops and generals of religious orders. Then, all the decrees were submitted to Pope Pius IV for his rejection or approval. In January 1564, the Pope gave his formal approval to these decrees. The canons of the council met with resistance in some parts of the Catholic world, but eventually they were observed and put into effect by bishops everywhere. It is interesting to note that the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, insisted that certain Protestant reformers under his control attend the council. However, they were dissatisfied with the conditions imposed, and it is doubtful whether any good resulted from their attendance. Effects of the Council of Trent. The Council of Trent helped mightily to stem the tide of Protestantism by purifying and revitalizing the Church. It is generally regarded as the most important of the 20 ecumenical councils. Popes of the Counter-Reformation. Much of the success of the Council of Trent and of the entire Counter-Reformation was made possible by the zealous popes who occupied the throne of St. Peter during the 16th century. Paul III, 1534 to 1549. This pontiff fought nobly to defend the unity of Christianity. In 1538, he excommunicated King Henry VIII of England. In 1540, Paul gave official approval to the Jesuit order. Finally, this pontiff succeeded in convoking the Council of Trent in 1545. Pius V, 1566 to 1572. This great pope was born in 1504 to a poor, virtuous family in Bosco, Italy. He was named Michele Ghislieri. As a boy, he desired to be a priest and entered the Dominican order. For many years, he lived a truly holy life and was appointed an inquisitor, The disagreeable but necessary work which he performed in this capacity has caused some historians to misrepresent him. After years of apostolic labor, he was elected to the throne of St. Peter in 1565. As pope, he labored successfully to enforce the salutary decrees of the Council of Trent. Political opposition in some European countries made this task an extremely difficult one, but God raised up many saints to aid the pope in his holy work. In 1570, Pius excommunicated Queen Elizabeth of England, who had done almost irreparable harm to the Church for 10 years, and had defiantly rejected all the advice and pleadings of the Holy See. Internal troubles were not the only ones which appeared during the stormy years of Pius's reign. The Turks, who had become masters of the Balkan Peninsula, preyed on the commerce of the Mediterranean Sea. They grew more and more bold, and the situation was rapidly becoming intolerable. Finally, a great fleet composed of Spanish, Venetian, and Genoese ships was sent forth under the command of Don Juan of Austria to meet the arrogant Turks. The Catholic fleet prepared well by receiving the sacraments and saying the rosary on the eve of the battle. On October 7, 1571, Don Juan and his men won a decisive victory at Lepanto. This victory was miraculously made known to St. Pius at the very moment it was consummated, while he was reciting the rosary. This is why the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary is celebrated on October 7th of each year. Moreover, as a result of the Battle of Lepanto, the invocation, Help of Christians, was added to the Litany of the Blessed Virgin. As pontiff, Pius V continued to wear his white habit of the Dominican order. Every pope since has worn a white cassock as a tribute to the piety and great achievements of St. Pius V. Gregory XIII, 1572-1585. The strength and security which the reign of Pius V had brought to the Catholic world made possible the splendor of the pontificate of Gregory XIII. Gregory founded seminaries and colleges in Rome to educate priests. To the various Catholic nations, he sent representatives called nuncios, whose chief duty was to see that the decrees of the Council of Trent were carried into effect. Gregory revised the calendar which had been used in Europe since the days of Julius Caesar. This so-called Julian calendar was imperfect, and by the 16th century had led to an accumulated error of 10 days. To correct the error, Gregory ordered October 5, 1582, to be dated October 15th. Then he instituted the Gregorian calendar, which avoided future errors by means of the device called leap year. All countries use this calendar now, although Protestant countries lag behind Catholic countries in adopting it. Russia was the last to accept it, in 1901. Sixtus V, 1585-1590. Sixtus was an ideal pope, a Franciscan of fearless energy. Sixtus did much to improve conditions within Rome itself. The city at the time was infested by bandit gangs. The pope effectively checked their evil activities by prescribing the death penalty for all bandits, regardless of their noble birth or political connections. Soon, public order was restored. He coped with the situation of employment among the poor by promoting the silk and woolen industries. Instead of starting new building projects, he renovated many church properties in Rome and completed many unfinished projects, such as the Vatican Library, the Lateran Palace, and the Dome of St. Peter's. Under Sixtus's sponsorship, a printing establishment was set up at the Vatican. This pope encouraged scholars such as Cardinal Robert Bellarmine, who was canonized in 1930. Saintly leaders of the Counter-Reformation. The 16th century was a century of saints. Many of these saints were dominant factors in the Counter-Reformation, and are still influencing the world for good through their writings and the educational institutions and charitable institutions that they founded. Because of limitations of space, we can now consider only a few of these glorious figures of church history. No doubt you will want to learn about their many noble co-workers. St. Ignatius of Loyola, 1491-1556. Mention of the Protestant Reformation instantly brings to mind the name of Martin Luther. In the same way, the Catholic Counter-Reformation inevitably suggests to us the name of Luther's greatest opponent, St. Ignatius of Loyola. Ignatius was a member of a noble Spanish family. He became a soldier and was wounded in a war against France in 1521. Up to this stage in his life, Ignatius had not been especially distinguished for his piety. But while he was recovering from his wound, he read the lives of the saints. This inspired him to become a soldier in the service of Christ. Ignatius prepared himself for the priesthood by studying at Salamanca, Alcala, and Paris. While he was at Paris, his pious, manly personality and high-minded ideals attracted 7 gifted noblemen who became his followers. This small group formed the nucleus of the Society of Jesus, or Jesuits as they are commonly known. In 1534, the Society of Jesus placed itself at the disposal of the Pope. In 1540, he received the official papal sanction. The general purpose of the Society of Jesus was to check Protestantism and to spread and strengthen the Catholic faith in every way possible. The Society's motto, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, to the greater glory of God, well expresses its basic aim. Candidates for the Society were required to undergo a long and rigorous training. When they had completed this training and were accepted as full-fledged members, they took the usual monastic vows and also swore implicit obedience to the Pope. St. Ignatius was a truly great administrator, and he organized his followers on a semi-military basis that contributed much to his glorious success. At the head of the society was a commander-in-chief known as a general. Ignatius, of course, was the first to hold this position. In the various countries, the general had subordinate commanders known as provincials. The Jesuits preached in Protestant countries and administered to Catholics there. Often they engaged in this holy work at the risk of their lives. They labored to detect and uproot any signs of heresy in Catholic lands. They engaged in missionary work in far-flung quarters of the globe, including the newly discovered lands in America. They conducted schools which were generally recognized as the best in Christendom. Through all these activities, the Jesuits served as the chief bulwark of the Church in weathering the storms of the Protestant Reformation. When Ignatius died in 1556, the Jesuits numbered about 1,000. Many of these were destined to become canonized saints, like their valiant and pious founder. In 1950, the Jesuits numbered 30,000. St. Francis Xavier, 1506 to 1552. One of the first companions of St. Ignatius was a young Basque nobleman who was won over to the cause of the Jesuits while studying at Paris. This man, Francis Xavier, was destined to become the Apostle of India and Japan, and one of the greatest of all the missionaries of the Church. He served as papal legate to India, where he labored more than 10 years as an apostolic missionary. In southern India, he baptized hundreds of thousands, trained teachers, and founded schools. After this, Francis went to Japan, where he toiled 2 years and converted 2,000 of the most intelligent people on the island. These 2,000 were to increase to 30,000 within 20 years. Francis then set out to China, but a tropical fever contracted on the lowly island of Sanshan opened eternity to his apostolic soul. His letters have inspired a vast amount of missionary activity and have helped to make many a saint. St. Peter Canisius, 1521 to 1597. This Hollander was the second apostle of Germany. Luther had propagated his destructive doctrines by means of pamphlets in question and answer form. St. Peter Canisius, who had been trained at Rome by St. Ignatius of Loyola, wrote catechisms in German and thus preserved the faith of multitudes and counteracted the terrible influence of the falsehoods propagated by the Lutherans. For 30 years, this saint devoted himself untiringly to the salvation of Germany, working in Bavaria, the Tyrol, Bohemia, and Austria. He was canonized in 1925. St. Angela Merici, 1474 to 1540. While still a young woman, this noble daughter of Italy gathered about her 12 other ladies resolved to further the wish of God. By their united efforts and with the encouragement of St. Charles Borromeo, this group founded the Ursuline Nuns to teach little children and to care for the sick. The Ursuline Nuns were a vital force in the Counter-Reformation in Italy, France, and Germany. They were the first sisters to come to the New World in 1636. In 1727, they founded at New Orleans the first Catholic school taught by nuns in the United States. St. Teresa, 1515 to 1583. St. Teresa was a native of the city of Avila in Spain. She grew into an enthusiastic, high-spirited maiden and entered the Carmelite convent of her native city. At first, she was very fond of reading romantic literature, but she finally yielded to divine inspiration and devoted her intense love to God alone. She became one of the mystic saints of the Church and aided the Counter-Reformation by reforming the lax discipline in the Carmelite convent. Teresa founded 32 Carmelite houses, all of which were models of exemplary living and discipline. St. Teresa's writings, especially the Way of Perfection, are written in a pure classic style and rank with the masterpieces of Spanish literature. Carmelite convents today are centers of prayer, especially in large cities. Their holy work brings down spiritual blessings on people who otherwise might deserve the wrath of God because they neglect the duty of prayer. Carmelites pray particularly for priests and missionaries. St. Vincent de Paul, 1581-1660. This apostle of organized charity was the founder of two religious orders, a reformer of the clergy, and a promoter of missions. He was born a member of a poor French peasant family, but his parents' sacrifices enabled him to become a priest. 5 years after ordination, he was captured by Mohammedan pirates and remained a slave for 3 years. This event was the turning point of Vincent's life. He converted his master, and both returned from Tunis to Paris. As a parish priest, Vincent saw the needs of the poor. 12 other priests joined him, and they founded the Congregation of the Missions, usually called the Vincentians or Lazarists. These priests gave missions to the poor in the villages of France. St. Vincent organized parish societies to care for the needy. He established homes for the aged, where husband and wife would not be separated. He established foundling homes for unwanted babies. Lastly, he founded the Sisters of Charity, who have done valuable work as nurses and teachers the world over. St. Vincent de Paul societies exist in most well-organized parishes today to care for the poor.